Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
It may be that the concepts many Christians hold regarding the Lord's coming back are actually causing him to delay his coming. Their expectation is that one day the Lord will suddenly come and that his coming will have nothing to do with their maturity. This is Matt Miller with Ron Kangas. Welcome back into the studio, Ron.
Good to be back. I appreciate especially your latter comment that the concepts many Christians hold regarding the Lord's coming back are actually causing him to delay his coming. This is worthy of consideration. I feel there's a need on this matter to speak quite frankly and honestly to the Christian public. A great many Christians are drugged and stupefied by superficial, elementary, incomplete, and inaccurate teaching concerning the Lord's coming. And that stupefaction is worsened by this booming industry of Christian fiction related to the end times. And the effect of the teaching, the preaching, the fiction is to make Christians curious about the events as if they were not curious enough already, to give them the false assurance, especially the pre-tribulation rapture people, that no matter what their spiritual condition is, no matter what their degree of growth in life is, everybody's going up before the tribulation starts. Everyone gets a free ticket. And the reason I speak this way is that my heart is quite exercised over how this kind of concept, which has its source in the teaching and preaching, how this hinders God from carrying out his economy, how this frustrates Christians from growing in life. So let's set forth the main idea here as it relates to this program. There is a direct correlation between the rapture of the believers and their maturity in the divine life. Not everyone goes at the same time. No farmer with an orchard harvesting peaches, say, will indiscriminately pluck all the peaches from all of his trees simply because they're peaches and it's harvest time. The harvesting of the peaches is related to their ripeness. And to use this illustration is not far off, because the Lord likened himself to a sower, sowing the seed in his field, which grows to maturity to harvest. This is developed further in Revelation 14, where the first fruits are taken before the general harvest. Why are the first fruits taken first? It's because they mature first and they're ripe first, so they're harvested first. Next, I would like to say something to the Christian listeners generally, and then to the preachers and Bible teachers particularly. To the believers generally, we would encourage you to reread the New Testament, at least reread the verses that speak of the Lord's coming and are being taken to be with him, and to consider what is presented in our publications to see if it isn't time for you to reassess what you've taken in. That's an invitation. The preachers and the Bible teachers, they need a challenge. And we, in a spirit of love, but in frankness and honesty, challenge your teaching as being not fully in accord with the totality of the New Testament revelation. We're in the book of James. Why do I say this obvious thing? Because James, in one of his many good points, says, not many of us should be teachers. Don't aspire, a lot of you, to be teachers. Those who teach will be judged with greater severity. To be gullible, or simple, or naive, and take in this notion of an indiscriminate rapture of all believers, no matter what their spiritual condition is, that's one thing. But to teach that, to preach that, to make an industry out of books concerning it, that's a big responsibility. We realize this is not an item of the faith. We don't fellowship with the believers based upon their eschatology. That's not something of the common faith. And we will not dispute with this in a way that would lead to division and discord. But as lovers of the Lord and lovers of the truth, we need to speak from our heart and from our spirit to the Christian public. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, many of you are being misled by inaccurate teachings concerning the Lord's coming, and by teachings that do not connect, as the Bible does, the Lord's coming with our being ready. And some may say, and I've heard people say, I'm ready, because I'm a believer. But readiness, according to the teaching of the Lord Jesus, involves something more than simply believing in Him and being a child of God. It means you have grown in life. You are living to the Lord. You are mature in life. You are ready to be with Him. So I say all of this mainly in response to your word that the concepts that many Christians hold are actually causing Him to delay His coming. Why does that contribute to delay? Because it frustrates the growth in life. And if there's not the growth in life, there's no bride ready. Is the Lord going to come back and marry a child bride? A little girl? The bride who matches Him as His counterpart has to have the stature, the maturity, the growth, the development. And so we're taking all this time at the opening. I wouldn't say plead, but to implore our listeners, have an open mind, be willing to reconsider, reread the New Testament, consider our ministry publications on this matter, and prayer before the Lord. That's all we ask. We have been faithful to present our understanding of the truth. We ask you to be open. If you agree, that's fine. If you don't agree, that's also fine. We still love one another and receive one another because God and Christ have received us. This is not an article of the faith. But there's an eschatological industry symbolized, I would say, by the Left Behind series. Now we have the prequel to the Left Behind series. The effect of these tens of millions of books is to hinder believers from seriously seeking the Lord and preparing themselves for His coming. And when He does come, many will be shocked that only the mature, only the first fruits will be raptured first.
Ron, we've come in our life study of James today to our ninth program, which is covering the printed message number 11. And obviously, in this, we're going to touch the Lord's coming because James talks about that in chapter 5. And he does talk about the Lord coming as a farmer. So everything you've said is a good introduction to what Witness Lee is going to talk about today. One other verse that I couldn't help but think of as you were sharing was about our hastening the coming of the Lord is Peter in his second epistle, the third chapter. He referred that we could hasten the coming of the day of God. So there is the ability for the believers to hasten the coming, but the flip side of that, if we wouldn't mature, we could delay the Lord's coming. So let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study.
As a whole, James' writing is all the time ambiguous. His writing sometimes touched the New Testament concept, and sometimes still kept the Old Testament concept. Now, to whom he addressed his epistle becomes a problem to all the expositors. Just merely to the Jewish believers, or to the Jewish believers with all the Jews in a general way. In this section, in verse 4, he used the Old Testament divine title, the Lord of hosts. That is the divine title in Hebrew, Jehovah Sabaoth. That means Jehovah of armies. Every Bible teacher, every expositor agree with this. Okay, this bears strongly a kind of a Jewish character, Jewish color, and Jewish tone, and Jewish flavor. Now, we come to awaiting the Lord's coming with long suffering. Awaiting. To await, right, the Lord's coming. This is nothing of Old Testament. This is fully New Testament. You see, he, in the previous six verses, right, verses 1 through 6, that was Jewish, right? That was Jewish. Now, right after that, James comes to the Christians, awaiting the Lord's coming back. Sure, this is not Jewish. This is altogether Christian.
Well, Ron, we've done it already, but let's go back to this matter of growth related to the Lord's coming.
Yes, let's restate this. Let's reconsider this. Even though the portion from Brother Lee was brief, it was very focused. On the one hand, we may say, and Revelation 22 should encourage us to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Those who love not only the Lord, but love his appearing, should have this in their heart to pray. But if we're not enlightened by the truth concerning the various aspects of his coming, especially the requirement that the believers grow to maturity, some might innocently suppose that the Lord would say, "Okay, you want me to come? I'll come tomorrow, or I'll arrange this or that to fulfill the prophecy objectively." But in Brother Lee's direct and simple way, and I say simple with a sense of respect, he presents the Lord as saying, "My child, grow quicker. You want me to come quickly? I hear you. But in order for your prayer to be fulfilled, you have to grow quicker." And regarding growth, as one serving the Lord, as a member of the body, as a brother, as one participating in the Lord's ministry, I have a lot of burden here. The fact is, the vast majority of believers are not growing at all. It's not that they're growing slowly, they're not growing at all. But they may suppose that because they have more knowledge than they had before, or their behavior is somewhat better than it was before, or because they have some unusual, even miraculous or charismatic experiences that they didn't have before, this means they're growing. None of those things have anything to do with the growth in life. The growth in life is the increase of Christ within us. It's the spreading of the Holy Spirit in our being. It's Christ making his home in our heart. It's the divine life developing, according to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. So this simple word, "grow quicker," conveys a lot. The Lord will not come back, and there will not be the rapture until at least the overcoming believers have grown to some degree of maturity. That's just the way it is. I don't know how to say it any more plainly than that. If Christians go on not growing, or growing at a rate which is abnormally slow, the Lord will wait. But, you know, you're a father, I'm a father of grown daughter and sons, and now with grandchildren. We would not be blasé if the little ones didn't grow. We would not comfort ourselves by saying, oh, it doesn't matter. The infant is not gaining weight. He's 8 years old. He doesn't walk. He doesn't talk. He's 12 years old. He's still 3 feet 2 inches tall. We would be desperately concerned because at the core, what we all want is just normal growth and development to maturity. This is what, now I say the word pleading, we are pleading for on behalf of the Lord. The Lord will come back for a bride, and this bride must be ready. She must be mature. She must be grown in life. She must match the Lord. Otherwise, that would be a most uncomely marriage. Eve was the counterpart of Adam. God did not produce a little girl to be the wife of Adam. That's the type. The church, as Christ's bride, must match him in every possible way. And an important element of this is the growth in life for maturity. Fellow Christians, grow quicker. If you want to be raptured, if you want the Lord to come back, if you want to be in the wedding feast, if you want to share in the coming kingdom, you need to grow to maturity. The Lord requires this. The Bible reveals this. And we testify this.
Ron, I'm going to read a verse, and we're going to go back to one short portion with Witness Lee. We're almost out of time, but let's do that. It's James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be long-suffering, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer eagerly awaits the precious fruit of the earth, exercising long-suffering over it until it receives the early and late rain. Here's Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
In verse 10, you have the word long-suffering. Take as an example, brothers, of suffering evil and of long-suffering, which the prophets had, long-suffering. Then you have another word in verse 11, that the word endurance, the endurance of Job. Too many years, I couldn't differentiate these two words, long-suffering and endurance. Long-suffering refers to a matter that expresses your patience toward persons. When people persecute you, you need the long-suffering. So long-suffering is to express your patience toward persons. But endurance means to express your patience toward the things that afflicted you. James, again, he's so wise in writing things this way. While we are waiting the Lord's coming back, we do have sufferings from these two sources, from the persecuting persons and from the environmental afflictions. We have to exercise these two things, long-suffering to our persons and endurance to our afflictions. If you know how to exercise these two things plus the growth in life, you are okay for the Lord's coming back. You have to grow. Every day you are growing. Lord, don't you see I'm growing? So, Lord, you have to add your speed to come back. And this is proper prayer. I'm not joking. Let me check with you. Do you talk about the Lord's coming back? You do. Have you ever prayed this way? Lord, don't you see? I'm growing today in a higher speed than yesterday. So you have to add your speed. You fulfill the term of growth in life. Then he will fulfill the term of coming back sooner. At the same time, while we are growing in life toward his coming, we must learn how to exercise our long-suffering toward the persons who give us the trouble. And also, can endure the environmental things that afflict us. This is the proper way to handle the awaiting of the Lord's coming back.
Well, Ron, I really feel like we're touching the Lord's heart here today, and the Lord's really speaking in a fresh way. We've covered this matter of the growth in life. Now, how about a concluding word on this matter of long-suffering towards persecuting persons and the endurance toward the afflicting environments?
This word is clear. The long-suffering is toward persons that are persecuting or troubling us. Endurance is toward the environment, toward hardships. But the main burden here is actually not to parse or to give a lexical definition of these words merely, but if we would consider what Peter says in 2 Peter 1, when he describes the development of the divine life from the root, this is our word, of faith to the consummation of brotherly love and love. We see past the midpoint self-control and endurance. Little children, humanly speaking, are not characterized by either long-suffering or endurance. We don't expect them to. That's why they say, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" when we're in the car. It is a sign of maturity in life to have long suffering and endurance. The point here is that if we are to have the long suffering and endurance recommended by James and required by the Lord, we have to grow in life. We're not talking about the natural human virtues of these that some of us have and others do not have to some extent. We're talking about the virtues of Christ becoming ours. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit developing in us. As we are heading toward the end, we will need long-suffering and endurance. If we are to await the Lord's coming with long-suffering and endurance, we must grow in life. If we have the sense that we are growing in life, then we have the ground to pray, "Lord, come quicker. Look, I'm growing more quickly. Lord, you come quickly." That's a very sweet word. So we are left with this point that we sounded in the beginning. The Lord's coming is directly and intrinsically related to the believer's maturity in life. The maturity in life, to state the obvious, requires the growth in life.
Thank you very much for being with us. Our time's up. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.